When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
It began long ago. Two young boys in an American town riding their bikes to school and Little League practice. Over the years, the boys became fast friends, united in their love for stories where things would go horribly wrong. Pour yourself a strong beverage and buckle up. You're in the shallow end with Schnepley and Tom.
Well, this has been an interesting day, Linz.
How so, JG? How so?
Well, I woke up this morning.
Da, 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 da. Every time somebody says, I woke up this morning, I instantly think they're going into a blues.
Okay. You know, all right. Well, let's do that. I woke up this morning.
Da, 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 da.
My power was out.
Da, 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 da.
That's all I got. Yeah, no, it's
better than most people did.
It's been crazy here because of the drought. Again, there's been a lot of power outages, and today 8 o'clock in the morning until noon. And then, from 4 to 6 in the afternoon, and again tonight from 10 to midnight. And the thing is they release the times. Well, they release the times like sometime in the middle of the night for that one day. And
wow. And is that via like a text?
No, it's on their website, which is hard to sometimes
access when you have no power.
Exactly. Yeah. So I woke up this morning. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's got to be incredibly frustrating.
Oh, it is. That's why I'm drinking.
Good for you.
Yeah, because I don't need power for that.
No need to feed them. They don't eat. They keep their power supplies in the soles of their feet. Remember that?
What was that?
That was Jackson Brown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got a shirt so unbelievably right. For a rocker, that was it.
For a rocker, Jackson Brown. Yeah. My God, yeah. We're old, Lindsay.
I know. Incredibly.
So this is episode 99. Would you like to lead the way today?
I would, only because for the second week in a row, mine is a tad on the dark side. Now, it's still funny to me because it is so incredibly stupid.
Okay.
But it's a little bit dark. I have decided to call my story for the week, Jethro, Pillow Talk.
Okay.
We frequently hear about people convicted of some crimes being sentenced to community service instead of jail time. And a number of proponents argue that it's a far better thing to do in some cases. Mm-hmm. You know, first off, it doesn't take up spaces in jails and prisons. It's certainly more humane. It costs way less. You're not paying anything to incarcerate somebody for any length of time. And the community itself benefits because people are actually working to improve things in a given community. And in researching the story, I learned that a recent study published in the journal Criminology and Public Policy, doesn't that sound like a fascinating journal, found that reoffending rates were significantly lower among those people who received a community sentence compared to those who were sent to prison. So the study's authors concluded that community sentences are associated with significantly reduced recidivism. I've always loved saying that word.
Recidivism?
Recidivism. So in cases of, say, nonviolent crimes, it can often make sense to use community service instead of jail or prison time. But even then, some people don't like that idea, which brings us to a town in Turkey called Erzurum, Turkey. It's in the far eastern part of the country.
All right.
And it's a few hours from the Armenian border. And I want to introduce you to our hero, in quotes, Jethro. His name is Zafer Kuzu.
Say that again.
I say his name is Zafer Kuzu, which sort of reminded me of Kaiser Soze in The Usual Suspects.
It's been a long time since I've seen that, but I love that film.
God, that film. I saw that film on a flight to Australia, a 16-hour flight from LAX to Sydney. And I watched it, and I was so blown away by the ending.
Oh,
I'm
not
going to give anything away.
Yeah.
That and you know, now it's like 3 a.m, and I have had no sleep. And I stayed up, and I watched the entire film again for a second time.
Did you?
Knowing how it ended and trying to piece together what I missed.
But
for any listener of this podcast who has, for any reason, not seen The Usual Suspects, do yourself a favor and prepare your pork taint, because that's got to be one of the top three surprise endings I've ever seen in any film.
Your long flight had a much better selection of movies and entertainment to choose from than the one that I took to Bangkok. 16 hours in the air, and I found myself at about 3 o'clock in the morning watching a 6-part documentary on Menudo.
Not the food.
No. The boy band.
That might have been more entertaining.
Actually, yeah, I'd rather go see the food.
Yeah.
Then
explain to me in 6 pieces about the history of tripe.
Yes. Get to it, little mister.
But please, not the boy band, because I just couldn't handle that.
Yeah, we're out the North Pacific. I have nowhere to go.
I thought you were going to say the choice of the film was Son of Flubber.
And
that's
don't be dissing a fine Fred McMurray vehicle.
Never. I always loved that film. So back to my story. Zafer Kuzu was a 24-year-old guy from Erzurum, Turkey. And in researching this story, I had trouble coming up with exactly what his crime was. All I could find out was that he had been charged with, quote, inflicting injury, unquote, somewhere in the city of Erzurum. Another story said the charge was for wounding another individual, unquote. So I'm guessing, I mean, this, I guess, really could have been anything. It could have been, say, a bar fight or a scuffle with a family member or a neighbor or whatever. But in this case, it must not have been too severe, because the judge did, instead of sending Zafer to jail or prison, he sentenced him to community service. Now, community service here in America is usually pretty mundane. For example, a judge can order a shoplifter, say, who stole from an elderly couple's establishment, to volunteer in a, you know, like a nursing home or a senior center.
Right.
Someone's convicted of writing graffiti on public buildings would be made to help clean and repaint, you know, a city park. You're assigned to, it's pretty mundane. Like I said, you're picking up trash on highways or something like that. So Zafer in Turkey gets sentenced to community service, but even that was apparently kind of a bitter pill to swallow. And he was all like, nah, that's just not how I roll. He wanted to skip community service altogether.
I see.
Just wasn't his cup of Turkish tea, if you will. So he and his pals are sitting around one day, and they're wondering just how he could get out of doing community service. Now, if I'm pausing just here for a second, didn't you have a story a while back about a guy who he ended up losing his arm to a lion, I think?
Yeah, he wanted to avoid the draft.
And that was it. Yeah.
And so he thought, hey, I'll get some kind of a discharge if I have all the cat scratches on my arm, because he had a cat. And they said, no, that's not severe enough. So he thought, well, the answer is a bigger cat. And he went to the zoo in the middle of the night, and the lion ate his arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he did end up, as I recall, he did end up avoiding the draft.
Yeah. But at least he didn't have an arm.
at least he lost an arm in the process. So our protagonist, Zafir, thinks if he gets injured enough that the judge who sentenced him to community service is going to, you know what, pal, you're good, never mind. So Zafir came up with a master plan. He thought the best way to get out of this odious task of community service was simple. All he had to do was to get hospitalized.
Uh-huh.
Now, if he's hospitalized, he thinks he's home free.
Okay.
Genius, right? Just not, a genius.
Not really, no.
Idea. So he just had to come up with the best way to get injured. All he needed now was that way to hurt himself. Not that bad enough to get him to the hospital for a stay where the judge would go, you know what, pal, never mind, you've suffered enough, and, you know, waive the community service thing.
Right.
So he and his buddies are sitting around trying to come up with a few ideas, and I would love to hear the ideas that they came up with that they didn't use, because the one that they settled upon is the very definition of shallow end thinking. Here's what they came up with. It started with Zafir strapping two huge bed pillows to his back with belts. Okay?
Okay. I've had a couple of nights like that, you know, but I was in high school.
For very different reasons.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, right off the bat, I'm thinking, okay, this is serious Wile E. Coyote land, right? I mean, I'm thinking, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, okay, what's coming up next? Like roller skates and a box of Acme Dynamite?
Yeah, right. Little jets on the back of his roller skates. And,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, pillows tied around him. That makes sense.
This is almost as Wile E. Coyote thinking as that. His plan was very basic. He's got himself strapped to those pillows, and his idea was that his friend, this accomplice, was going to aim a shotgun at his back.
Oh my God.
And fire the shotgun.
No.
At Zafir's back. Yeah.
Were these king size pillows?
I presume they were king size pillows. Mm. It did say they were large pillows.
He'd be an idiot if he used like standard size pillows or even queen.
Like a sofa cushion.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I was thinking, actually, as I was reading the story about Elton John, Stevie Wonder singing "That's What Friends Are For." Now, we don't know that the exact distance that his quote-unquote friend was standing away, and I'm not sure if Zafir was directing this process like a stunt coordinator. You know, no, that's too far back.
Yeah,
no,
right.
Sorry, that's too close.
Yeah.
We don't even know if they did some sort of test shot, which I think is what you and I would do.
Well,
if we were
certainly
stupid enough to try something.
In fact, we have. I can't tell you how many times we've shot up a pillow
just to see what the buckshot would do.
Mm-hmm.
But had this been me, well, A, I wouldn't have come up with this idea to avoid community service. I think I would have rather picked up trash than gotten shot by a shotgun in the back. But I would have guessed that they would have said, well, let's stand like 20 feet back from a pillow and fire and see what it does. And then let's do it at like 30 feet back so that they could sort of get an idea of exactly what the quote unquote safe distance would be for his buddy to stand behind him with a shotgun and blast him full of lead. Now, Zafir does brace himself because he knows this is going to sting a little.
It's going to leave a mark.
He gives the cue to his friend, and that's when the guy fires the shotgun.
Oh my God.
At Zafir's back. And in the immortal words of Howard Cosell, down goes Frazier.
Down goes Frazier.
Zafir, not surprisingly, boom.
Oof.
Does a face plant on the ground. We don't know if he said anything. We don't even know if he could speak. but we do know this. However close his good friend was, the guy who said, "This is a great idea," must have instantly regretted, because Zafer is now bleeding like a stuck pig.
Wow.
And his two friends are staring at each other in disbelief, which just amazes me that, like, what the hell did you think was going to happen?
We used not one, but two king-size pillows.
And they were strapped with belts.
We ruined a perfectly good sham.
What could have gone wrong? Well, they come to find it's too late to even get Zafer to the hospital, because he's actually dead there in the driveway. They couldn't even get him to the ER.
Okay, well, at least they were outside.
So minutes later, our hero, who just couldn't handle the thought of picking up trash in a city park, is dead.
Yeah.
According to local media, one of the victim's friends shot him at such close range, the wayward buckshot seriously injured him to the point of mortality. The police arrive on the scene. They arrest one friend they identified only as FYT. I'm not sure why. The alleged shooter. And then another 18-year-old that they just initialed FY. I'm not sure why. They seize the shotgun. And I thought this was really interesting. They sent his body for an autopsy at the Forensic Medicine Institute in Istanbul.
Okay.
And I thought, do you really need an autopsy?
Yeah.
If your buddy's standing there saying, he wanted me to shoot him in the back, but we had pillows.
Yep. He's standing there in the driveway, a couple of spent shotgun shells smoking in the sand.
Still smoking.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Smoke coming up. Sources for this story, DailySaba.com, DarwinAwards.com, DailyMail.com. The lesson to you kids listening at home, if you ever get sentenced to community service, just go do it.
Yeah, go pick up the trash. It's much less painful.
Paint a wall, work at a senior center, but just do it. Any idea involving a shotgun is just a bad idea, no matter how many pillows you have strapped to your body. It really made me wonder, like I said before, what were the ideas they came up with where they thought, no, that's not going to work?
Yeah. Well, maybe they just had that one and they said, well, that's good. Well, let's roll.
Haven't come up with anything better. Or if they thought at some point, geez, do you think we should use four pillows? And Zafer himself was like, no, I'm sure two is good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to waste a pillow.
Especially a king size one. They're expensive.
Those are expensive.
Oh my God. I wonder if it was like a down pillow.
Well,
that would be so Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
Feathers
because
everywhere.
Now you've got feathers.
Yep.
Flying everywhere.
Feathers and blood.
And just his little eyes, you know, and you hear the blink, 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 blink. As his eyes are blinking.
Mm-hmm.
God, we love us some Looney Tunes.
Don't we, though?
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
For years, you've loved him in films like Taken, The Chronicles of Narnia, and Schindler's List. Now, from the company that brought you the Jennifer Coolidge GPS voice comes a whole new level of cool. Imagine getting directions from actor Liam Neeson himself.
Hey, Liam, how do I get to Costco?
Costco? There are things there you don't want in your home. Let's go somewhere else. Now.
Hey, Liam, how much farther to the grocery store?
If we get there and something has happened to my daughter, I will hunt you down and kill you. The Liam Neeson GPS voice. He may not get you where you want to go, but you know you'll get there safely.
Hey, Liam, what's the fastest way home?
We could go home, but there may be men there you don't want to deal with. You stay here.
I'll come back for you when it's safe.
Hey, Liam.
I think we're being followed. Make a right, then a left, then pull over. Just do as I say.
The Liam Neeson GPS voice. Celebrity voice impersonated.
Our email address is lifeguard@shallowendpodcast.com. That's the address that Denise from Santa Cruz, California, used to write us. You ever been to Santa Cruz, Jethro?
No, I never have. I would
really
love
cool
to.
Town.
Yeah, I hear
really
it's beautiful.
Cool. Yeah. I did a race there one time, like a 12K or some damn thing that damn near killed me. And I vowed I would never go back to Santa Cruz to run in a race.
Yeah, yeah. Why is it that all marathons, they measure it metrically, even in the U.S.?
It's an interesting question. I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know.
It's a 5K race. It's a 10K race.
10K, yeah. Maybe it's maybe kilometers are sort of more of an international standard in terms of distance.
I love the fact that we in America have just given the metric system the big middle finger.
I remember being so amazed in grade school.
Yep.
When everything that I read, you know, I was in third or fourth grade, mm-hmm. and they said, essentially, by the year 1980, all of America will be using the metric system. And I thought, I don't know how that's going to go, but okay.
Yeah, same thing with me, too. Like in first grade, it was the same thing. We have to learn this because in the next few years, everything's going to be metric. Oh, time for our duck and cover exercise. We are so old.
We are.
Oh,
we
God. Are.
Anyway, Denise from Santa Cruz writes, "Hey, Lindsay and Jethro, and a special hello and a hug for Kat." Isn't mm-hmm. that sweet? "I really enjoy listening to The Shallow End when I'm walking, cooking, or just goofing off. You always give me a chuckle or even a good guffaw, which usually gets me strange looks. In one of your recent episodes, you talked about a man who freaked out when he saw a large spider on his car's yeah. rearview mirror, and he set things on fire at a gas station. Well, that reminded me of an episode where we had an uninvited guest in our car, although ours didn't have eight legs and eight eyes. We were driving south down Interstate 5 in California toward L.A. from the Santa Cruz area. It's a straight and wide highway. We were tooling around at about 70 miles an hour. My husband was driving. My daughter was in the back seat. I opened the glove compartment to get my phone charger out and saw two little beady eyes and a tiny whiskered nose looking back at me. My first thought was that someone put one of our Halloween props in the glove compartment. My second thought was, wait a minute, we don't have any brown rat props. My third thought was, oh my God, it's alive. I looked at it. It looked at me. We both freaked out. Mm. It jumped out of the glove
oh
box right into my husband's lap.
Oh my God.
Oh, I got a... stop right here and say that if that happened to me,
yeah,
I would probably drive off the road.
Yeah. Yeah. After you fudged your linens.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think that's what the kids call it nowadays.
They do. They yeah. do. I just checked. I was screaming. My husband was screaming. My daughter, who couldn't see what was even happening, was yelling, "What? What? What?" My husband screeched over to the side of the road. We all jumped out of the car. We searched all over the car for the critter, but couldn't find it. I'm not normally afraid of rats or mice, but when one jumps out at you from a glove compartment, I think you're entitled to freak a little.
Yes.
Since we couldn't find it and we'd calmed down, we concluded it had run away into the field, so we drove on to our lodging for the night in L.A. We checked the glove compartment again just to be safe. No rat. The next morning, I decided to check it one more time, but this time I was ready. I quickly opened the panel, and there was that GD rat. I grabbed it behind the head, pulled it out of the compartment, and threw it semi-gently into the bushes of the parking lot where it scampered away. Then we put the pedal to the metal and got the hell out of there.
See, I would be afraid of rabies. I wouldn't be manhandling.
I would no more touch a live rat than... Yeah.
No, not one that's in my glove compartment. No.
I'd rather keep it in the glove box. Yeah.
Yeah.
Than handle it. We were pretty close to Disneyland, so I like to think that the rat was just visiting his family at the Mouse House.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, field rats do like to get into the engines of cars around here, or as Jethro would say, lurk in the engines.
They're lurking.
although this was my first experience. Just thought I'd share it. Thank you so much for your entertaining podcast. Keep up the good work. I love you guys. Denise from Santa Cruz.
That's awesome. Denise, thanks, Denise.
You are a much braver man than either JG or I,
mm-hmm.
in that you were able to actually grab that thing with your bare hands and toss it into the shrubs.
Years ago, I rented a small farmhouse, and it had a little barn, and it was a, kind of a rundown ramshackle barn. On the inside, some of the pieces of the wood were missing, so it was a little breezy in there. And so somebody had installed like tar paper sheets along the wall.
Not the strongest thing in the world, but
cuts the wind.
Sure, cuts the wind. You'll pardon the expression.
So I'm in the barn, and I hear something inside the wall.
Oh,
and
God.
It's, you know, I'm like, okay, squirrels or chipmunks have moved in. And there were squirrels there. So I bang the wall of the barn with a shovel. And you know, at the beginning of a football game, when the players jump through the paper hoop, right over my head, right over, just woof, squirrel.
How many? Oh, just a squirrel.
A squirrel. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, better than 20 rats.
That's true.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would much rather have a squirrel dive bomb me than have to pick up a rat from my glove box.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad they call it a glove compartment and not a rat compartment. And this here is a pneumatic rat compartment.
That's not going to help sales at all.
How many rats can I fit in the rat compartment? Oh, a good dozen at least.
It's one of those unexpected surprises.
All car salesmen talk like this, JG. You know that. That's when you go to buy your Stanley steamer, right?
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. You buy a used one from the Hindenburg guy.
You're Duesenberg.
Exactly.
You look like a fine, upstanding man. Gentlemen, I'm sure I could interest you in a Duesenberg.
Which really sounds filthy nowadays, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Must be the shape.
When Johann Rahl received the letter on Christmas Day 1776, he put it away to read later. Maybe he thought it was a season's greeting and wanted to save it for the fireside. But what it actually was a warning, delivered to the Hessian colonel, letting him know that General George Washington was crossing the Delaware and would soon attack his forces. The next day, when Rahl lost the Battle of Trenton and died from two Colonial Boxing Day musket balls, the letter was found, unopened, in his vest pocket. As someone with 15,000 unread emails in his inbox, I feel like there's a lesson there. Oh well, this is The Constant, a history of getting things wrong. I'm Mark Chrysler. Every episode, we look at the bad ideas, mistakes, and accidents that misshaped our world. Find us at constantpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello everyone, Takuya here.
And I'm Gabby.
And we are the hosts of History of Everything, a podcast which you can probably guess by the name is, well, I mean, it's about everything. Do you want to know why people thought potatoes were evil and would give you syphilis? Are you curious about all the stories of the terrible and stupid ways that people have kicked the bucket over the years? Do you want to hear tales about all of the different badasses of history and the lives that they had brought to life? Well, if so, then look no further. History of Everything is just the right podcast for you. It's available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Join us for some fun and just see how weird and wacky history can be.
You're in the shallow end with Schnepley and Toth.
I bet if you looked around, JG, it wouldn't be too difficult for you to find a story that you had prepared just for this very session.
It's funny you mention that. I have a Word document open right now that happens to have just that.
Well, hit me with it.
In the quaint town of Hydro, Oklahoma, there lived an elderly gentleman. His name was Edwin Fry. He was a spry 73-year-old with a penchant for flouting the conventional. This is a tale of how he took on the law for the love of his miniature poodle, whose name was Buddy Ruffintuff.
Buddy Ruffintuff, what a great name for a little doggy.
But this dog was a terror. Even though he was just a little miniature poodle, he was a fur ball with a wrap sheet.
He was a fierce miniature poodle, huh?
Yes, he was. He's one of those deadly ones. But he wasn't just your ordinary canine companion. He was kind of the Houdini of hounds. He would escape the yard constantly. It was legendary in the neighborhood. This little pint-sized poodle had a reputation for staging canine insurrections among the local pet population, leading to the neighborhood dogs embarking on merry chases and turning quiet afternoons into scenes reminiscent of a dog park uprising. One might understand that in Hydro, the locals value tranquility. Above all else, dogs were expected to be seen and not heard, or ideally, neither. Buddy, however, had his own agenda.
Buddy wanted to see the world.
He would sneak under the fence and he would crash garden parties and turn them into frenzied fetch fests. He orchestrated a mass howl at the full moon, creating a symphony of canine crooning that left the neighborhood in sleep-deprived dismay. Now,
this is priceless.
People, they didn't like the dog. They didn't like his owner because his owner didn't take care of him. He would get away and cause all kinds of mischief. Officer Chancellor told the tale of a recent uptick in canine chaos, which began with a pair of pit bull terriers that tragically cut short the burgeoning career of a high school's show calf. And since that event, the local law enforcement's phone was ringing constantly off the hook about stray dogs. Chancellor said, quote, "Our resources are stretched thin as it is. We're up to our necks here, unable to keep tabs on every dog that decides to take a walk by itself." He went on to share a litany of grievances lodged against Mr. Fry's dog, the miniature poodle with a spirit as untamed as the West. One irate citizen declared that Buddy Rough and Tough had orchestrated a furry frenzy, riling up her dogs into a barking brigade that would have given any mail carrier nightmares. On another unfortunate evening, Buddy's impromptu porch visit resulted in a tumble and injury for an unsuspected elderly woman.
Oh.
The poodle's roving rendezvous ended when a vigilant local managed to apprehend the unruly rascal and escorted him to the confines of the police department. They put Buddy in the pen.
Buddy was in the hoosegow.
Buddy Rough and Tough was no stranger to the pound.
Wouldn't you love to see that booking photo, by the way?
Make some t-shirts out of it. Own it, you know? He was no stranger, Buddy Rough and Tough, to the pound. His previous escapade had resulted in a $50 fine. This time, in a move uncharacteristic of his usual defiance, Mr. Fry had acquiesced and settled the amount to spring his friend from the big house. He paid the $50. He wasn't happy about it, but he paid it. Then on October 13th, 2010, the final straw came when Buddy, in a daring daylight dash, led the neighborhood chihuahuas in what could only be described as a bark-in at a local cafe. This led to his capture and subsequent incarceration at the pound, and a fine was set for his release. Now, Mr. Fry, an obstinate kind of guy, he decided paying fines was Not for him.
Not for him.
No, kind of like community service was for Kaiser Sose.
The rules don't apply to me.
He wasn't about to fork over $100 when he had a perfectly good set of bolt cutters and a lawn tractor that were just itching for a covert operation.
Anytime you combine tractors with bolt cutters, something's going down, right?
His plan was meticulous in its simplicity and as eccentric as the pet's behavior. He would wait until the moon was nothing but a sliver in the night sky, dress in his darkest overalls, which, by the way, were a stunning shade of navy blue. and that, you laugh, but it was a bold choice considering typically he preferred a lively plaid. And he got on his riding lawnmower.
and he motored down to the big house.
Mm-hmm. On that fateful night, under the guise of darkness and the hum of a lawnmower engine, Edwin set off on his mission. Neighbors peeked through the windows, watching this curious parade of one. Edwin, with the determination of a man on a quest, rode valiantly, his silhouette against the night sky, looking like a modern-day Don Quixote charging toward a kennel of windmills.
Isn't this just like something from a Wes Anderson film?
Yes, it is. It's very Wes Anderson.
The silhouette of him on his riding lawnmower with a little, you know, crescent moon above.
So he gets to the pound. Edwin employed his bolt cutters with the precision of a seasoned bank robber, snipping through the metal links as quietly as one can snip through anything with bolt cutters, which, as it turns out, isn't very quietly at all.
Yeah.
Buddy, upon seeing his owner, let out a series of yips, which translated roughly to, "I knew you'd come and get me."
Let's bust out of here, see?
Yeah, can't get me, copper. The getaway, however, was less graceful. Buddy perched on his lap and sitting on the bolt cutters, Edwin made his great escape. But fate and law enforcement had other plans. Officer Chris Chancellor, who had been tracking Buddy's nefarious activities for some time, was waiting. The sight that greeted him was something out of a slapstick comedy. Here's an old man on a lawnmower, dog in tow, riding off into the night as if he was leading a small town parade,
holding a set of bolt cutters in his lap.
Officer Chancellor said, quote, "I've been in law enforcement 20 years, and this is the first time I've known of anyone who has busted a dog out of jail." The confrontation that ensued was equally bizarre. Chancellor approached cautiously because, not because of any perceived threat, but simply because he wasn't quite sure how to arrest a man traveling at the speed of a brisk walk.
Sure.
As Edwin came to a halt, he stood, raised his arms, one of which was still attached to Buddy, and surrendered the bolt cutters with a magician's flair.
"Are these your bolt cutters?" Magic.
Mr. Fry, who has a history of strained relations with authorities of this tiny town, was charged with second-degree burglary, trespassing, destruction of property. He also faced a municipal charge of allowing an animal to run at large and a misdemeanor charge in the county district court of breaking and entering. Mr. Fry spent several days in jail after his bail was set at $1,000, requiring a $100 deposit to a bondsman for release, but nobody would give it to him.
Wow.
His neighbors are like, "Nah, you sit there for a while."
The town was fed up with Buddy and his owner.
So let this be a lesson to you surly lawn tractor owning bolt cutter having dog owners who don't take proper care of your pets. This could happen to you.
This could be you.
I got this from the Daily Mail.
What would we do without the Daily Mail? I feel like that's almost...
Oh, it's a great source for stuff like this.
I loves me some Daily Mail.
And speaking of mail,
yes,
curator
sir.
At theboxofoddities.com. Oops, wrong podcast.
What podcast is this?
Lifeguard.
Info at From Beneath the Hall. No, wait, that's not it.
I know. Lifeguard at Shallow End Podcast.com. Yeah, that's it. Lifeguard at shallowendpodcast.com.
You see, folks, when you have so many podcasts going all week long, it's really hard to keep these addresses straight.
That's not far from the truth.
No, it really isn't.
It really isn't. I was adding up the hours that I have spent editing in the last 2 weeks, and just editing alone is like 80 hours.
No one said this would be easy or fun.
You did.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
my bad. I remember saying, "Please, JG, this will be easy and fun."
Well, at least it's fun.
At least it's fun.
Yeah.
Indeed. No one said it was going to be easy. Yeah.
Love that you're here. We look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, make good choices.
Your life might depend on it.
So concludes another episode of The Shallow End with Schnepley and Toff. We thank you for listening. Oh, be a dear, would you? Please subscribe to this podcast, give these boys a 5-star rating, and think of something nice to say, even if you have to make something up. and visit us online at shallowendpodcast.com. Okay, gotta go.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you get when you take two childhood friends with a passion for unexplored history and a whole lot of booze?
You get us, Queens Podcast.
And here at Queens, we are spilling the tea on all kinds of women from history.
From New Orleans voodoo queen Marie Laveau to Marie Antoinette and everything in between.
Each queen is paired with a cocktail recipe that will totally get you in the mood to hear the fun, dramatic, and juicy stories of fascinating women from history.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheers.